Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if any of you know this, but I just got back from Texas. Anybody ever lived in Texas? Well, I was there 18 years, and Texas is a wonderful place. Lots of warm, hot weather down there and wonderful people. Me, my wife and I are considering moving. Can't take very money, poor or Texas anymore. That's just too hard on me. So seriously, I was very sick last winter. So, but here, what I'm doing here today is the subject of eternalness. There's eternity. There's all eternal. There's all kinds of different ones. Well, what is that? So I'm going to define the word for you first with synonyms. It's defined as something being without interruption. It's the synonym, perfect synonym for eternalness is perpetuity. Remember, this is the sign of what? Of perpetuity. That's the infinity sign, right? Never stops, keeps on going. So that's like God. He never had no beginning. He never had no end. So there's no beginning. There's no end. God is eternal. The beautiful thing about perpetuity is that it's so timeless. God is a timeless God. He deals in timelessness. And he's everlastingness. He's forever. He's for infinity. He's permanence. He's the ages of ages. Ceaselessness. Eternity. All these things are definitions of the word of eternalness. Now, every so often, I'm going to make a point here, and I'm going to say, is this the eternalness of what this example is? And there's so many things about your lives and mine that are affected by the Word of God, whether we like it or not. I mean, it's there. The Word of God is consistent, and as we well know, that it's timeless. God is eternal. His Word is promised by His Son, Jesus, to never, ever go away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Who said that? Jesus did. Well, where is that in the Bible? Matthew 24:35, taking notes. Since Jesus' words are eternal, then we should know them and live our lives by them. Eternity will bear witness to his words over and over. They are virtually timeless. The whole word of God is eternal and timeless. However, there is a promise from Jesus to return. And this makes all of the church age stuff temporary, doesn't it? Because when Jesus returns, the church age very possibly could cease. Because then either A, we're drawn up to meet the Lord in the air, but then things go on after that, because that's guaranteed to us. That promise is there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to the end. Great teaching by Paul. It gives me a lot of joy to know that's there. It's also in 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, where it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. No chance to repent. Church gone. So we step into eternity, and then eternalness really makes, wow, this is happening. So the point is all kinds of wonderful promises dealing with eternity. The justice for the unrepentant. What about them? So there's eternalness in eternity for those of us that have experienced the joy, accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the fact of the matter is that cross is empty. Aren't you glad? Because he rose from the dead, and all we got to do is enjoy what Jesus has said. It's all a matter of belief, and let it change you. There are a lot of people that believe that Jesus died on the cross. They even believe that he rose from the dead. But they didn't let it transform them. Oh, that part has got to happen. The transformation of the inner man. I read a whole book about that by Charles and Paula Sanford, if you ever want to look it up. It's a great book. But it changed my life because it told me about the condition of my heart, which is a whole other teaching. So the point that I want to make, though, here is the fact that at Faith Walkers, I've been enjoying growing in the Lord with you guys by these wonderful teachings that you guys have been giving us here. And this has been a part of my Christian growth. So it has everything to do with what this guy who's been ordained as an evangelist, when I walk out those doors, I got to turn on. Right? You got to turn on? Turn on. What's that mean? It means, is the word, listen to me, is the word of God alive and active and powerful in your life? And you got to ask yourselves a question. Is it? Is it? Is it transforming me? Because you're dealing with the eternities of all the people that you come in contact with. My friend David and I were at the rescue mission last Saturday night. It's about 180 men, something like that, showed up. About that. So the important thing is that when I dealt with this position of being the one to deliver the word of God to these men, life was in the balance for some of them because they had to figure out whether or not they had wanted to accept the things that come out of my mouth. So, like I said, when we walk out through that door, that's when we turn on. And you don't ever think that I've done my word of duty. I'm going to put it into this little, close it away. God says, I just was doing that to train you a little more. The transformation of the inner man begins by reading the word of God and hearing the word of God. Speak it out to yourself. And when you speak it out to yourself, and I have learned this over the last like 15, 20 years, I read the word of God and I've got a place to put it. I've got a person to point it to. And I said, Lord, I just would love to see this happen in my niece's life. I've got about 3 nieces that are not destined for heaven. And I got, Lord, Lord, we need to, how is this going to happen? And so I'm going to pray this scripture over them. Do you guys do that? Do you pray the word? Because once you do that, you empower God's words. And Isaiah 55:11 comes into play. My word will not come back to me void because it'll prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It won't come back to me void. What does it take to make it work? Your faith. Amen? It's all about your faith. You want to know where that is? Talks about faith in the Bible? Hebrews 11:1. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Boy, we could talk about that. That's another teaching. The important thing is that when you share this to somebody, and we got Godmobile season coming up for me, and we shared Christ with 595 people who all accepted Jesus last summer, and we had the greatest time doing it. But the point that I'm not here to bring me glory, I am here to tell you eternity and eternalness is always in the realm, always waiting to happen, and it's moving. It's constantly moving. Is this person going to accept this? We're on our way back from Texas, and we were in this little town called Festus, Missouri. And I got through. You heard of it?
Oh, I thought it was a funny name.
It's Festus. Yeah, I know you think Festus Hagen and Gunsmoke, I know. But the point that I'm making is, and I'm in this Captain D's Seafood, and I got through ordering my stuff, and I turn around to go sit down, and here is this United States Army active duty sergeant standing right in front of me. And the Holy Spirit it was like lightning. You got to talk to this man. 48 years old, Sergeant Martin, never forget him. And I said, and I let him do his stuff. And I said, may I talk to you, sir? Eternally. Eternalism in the waiting to happen for this man. And he's sitting down, and we got to be friends almost instantly, and he knew I had my Air Force vet hat, and we just were having, I said, how long you been in? He said, 30 years. I said, you got to be an E-9 by now. That's the highest rank you can get. Anybody doesn't know that in the military. And he goes, no, I'm an E-5. He said he was a recruiter. So we're going back and forth. I'm looking for some way to segue into the things of God. So I whipped out my prayer of abandonment, which most of you have now. And I handed it to him and I said, let's read this together. Just like pulling the rug right out from underneath him. All that pride, all that military stuff sat over there while he began to encounter God. I thought he was going to cry. And he was sitting there reading that, And I read it with him. I never had a man thank me so much. Wow. Eternalism. He was walking right into the things of God. And he was so happy to have the prayer. I said, put it in your wallet. He said, can I have this? I said, put it in your wallet. It's for you. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Don't give me any credit for this, guys. Just know that God was working. I simply needed to be at the right place, at the right time, willing to work for God. It would have been easy to say, oh, I don't want to do anything like this. I just want to go sit down and eat my dinner. God wants you to know that he wants you ready, able, willing. You are his receptacle. You are his, if you will, conduit of his grace. And he wants to pour it through you. And it's exciting when it happens, I can tell you that. It's really exciting when that happens because eternalness enters into the situation and into the life of that person. And eternity, all of a sudden, he was going the other direction. And now, that person's eyes are open to the things of God. And don't think for 1 minute they don't want to hear it. God put eternity in their hearts. That's scriptural. He put it there. And he's waiting for somebody to shine that light with all seriousness. You've got to break through that tough hide of pride. But it's kind of, that's the Holy Spirit's job. You just let the Holy Spirit take care of that. Your job is to sow seeds. And you want them to take it. Lord, you want this person to come out of being sexually immoral. You want them to come out of the judgment that currently rests on their shoulders. Their judgment, and they're the unbelieving, the liars, the cowards, the sorcerers, the idolaters. All of them will be the damned. And you're working with this person. You don't even know what kind of life, but it doesn't matter where they came from because they are this conglomeration of everything that's standing in front of you, as we were when we accepted Jesus. Same stuff. Sin, sin. But you want to see them removed from the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20 and 21. After the great white throne judgment, eternalism, your name is written down for your eternity. Oh, grab that hand and start praying. I can't tell you how many times I just grab that hand and start praying. And then I turn around and I look at the eyes. Because you can see it in the eyes. And it's beautiful. Because their eyes like change right in front of you. Holy Spirit does that. You just pray. Does it sound easy? It is. And it's so important that they ask Jesus to come into their hearts to become their personal Lord and Savior. They got to do it. John 3:3 happens. So they become born again. So are you truly one of the transformed, according to Romans 12:2? We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable word of God. So the point is, are we really hungering for the word? Is it genuinely a part of your life? Do you meditate on it day and night? Do you practice repentance? Boy, that's a rough word. The life of the Christian here on earth depends upon the rewards that you receive in your personal eternalness. Eternalism. I'm going to go to the verse that's been assigned to me, which is Psalm 90, verse 2. He has been before the world was made, from everlasting to everlasting. He has always been God. Long before birth of the mountains. So this is, I pretty well made that point. Eternalism is the things of God. I'm telling you, and it's just, it's there. It's been there. I can't say enough about it. But I want to go to some quotes here by our dear old brother in Christ about the eternity of God. A little bit of a Tozer here. He says here, we worship thee, the Father everlasting, whose years shall have no end. And thee, the love begotten Son, whose goings forth have ever been of old, we also acknowledge and adore thee, Eternal Spirit, who before the foundation of the world didst live and love in coequal glory with the Father and the Son. Enlarge and purify the mansions of our souls, that they may be fit habitations for thy Spirit. who does prefer before all temples the upright heart and pure amen. So the concept of everlastingness runs like a lofty mountain through range throughout the entire Bible and looms large in Orthodox Hebrew and Christian thought. Were we to reject the concept, it would be altogether impossible for us to think again the thoughts of prophets, apostles, so full they were of being long dreams of eternity. The word is everlasting. Because the word is everlasting, it's sometimes used to the sacred writers. But the point is that it's for all persons. I could go all the way through this, but I don't want to read this until you finally get tired of me hearing it. So the point is, I don't want to put anybody to sleep. Too many people fall asleep while people are preaching. Too many. But the thing is that the point that I am making is eternalism and eternity work together hand in hand because we are desperately looking for joy. The joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so full of joy. Now I was pondering, I said, Lord, what are the final things that you want me to say in this talk? He says, talk about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is filled with power, wisdom, guidance, direction, joy. And when I'm talking to somebody that's new at this stuff, I look up and I ask this question. And if you're looking for a way to get them hungry, say this. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want those things? Do you have joy in your life? Do you realize how many people are miserable out there? I mean, they're just walking, just bags of bad baggage. Too many. The light inside of you needs to come out and give them eternalness. I can't say anything greater than that. We need to be, and Lowell, preach to yourself, learned in this word. So when the time comes, and it will, that the right verse will come forth at the given moment. So the important thing is the right moment is constantly waiting to happen. It's like, and you see it happen. I mean, too many of you guys are experienced what I'm talking about right now. It happens. The question is, are you prepared with the wherewithal of how much word is inside your mind and your heart and your spirit so that that person can get set free? Why? Because eternity rests. It's there. It's waiting to come forth in that person's life, to move them out of death, to move them out of sinfulness, and to set them into eternity in the light of God. And it is waiting to change that person. Oh my gosh, how important is that? It's critical. And I notice it in my life that I get so full of joy and happiness when I can see the Holy Spirit working. Oh my gosh, it's like my every cell in me is shouting for joy because he did his work. And he used me to do it. And I can tell you, he picks the weirdest times to make it happen. It's happened in hot tubs, swimming pools. No kidding. It's happened. You don't got to be in a four-wall setting. Or outside. All you got to do is be sensitive to what the move of the Holy Spirit is at the given moment in time that's already been prepared for you for the future so that the eternal work of the Holy Spirit can happen. It's like, I could almost cry, the Lord just gave me a quick vision. It's like God is standing there with the open book. He's watching you. He's got a pen in his hand. And he's waiting for you to share light into that person's life. So he can write their name down. He wants to write their name down in the book of life. He's waiting. Just waiting. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Can you see that? Jesus is waiting. He's already done it. He's already given the grace. He's given the power. He's given the might. He's given everything that you need. You're totally equipped because of that. You are totally equipped to do and go and accomplish those things for God has already set in place long before you even born. It gives me joy just to think about how powerful that statement is. God wants us ready, willing, and able And I can tell you, he could do it even when you're sick. I'm laying in the hospital. It's after my surgery. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Jessie walks through my door. She's a nurse's aide. And I can only breathe that much. But the Lord, no, Lowell, I got work for you to do. 3 o'clock in the morning. And she says, my life, my marriage is a mess. I got 4 kids. I closed my eyes. I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to tell this woman? And he simply said, put your hand on her arm and pray. I'll do the rest. Isn't that beautiful? And I just laid my hand on her arm. I said, Jessie, may I pray with you? May I pray with you? 5 more powerful words come out of your mouth. I didn't give a moment. And I saw the Lord change that woman right in front of me. And I finally had a purpose to lay there. The suffering was pretty rough. But it didn't matter because God wanted to use me. See what I'm saying? It doesn't matter where you're put, where you're placed, at what time. What matters is how that person is going to get blessed by your light that's inside of you. And eternity waits in the wings. Eternity, eternalism, eternalness, it's all real. It's rich. And we need to know that it's kind of like a moving thing. It's always constant. God is always constant. He always was. He always will be. Many times I deal with eternalness when I'm just looking out over a park, over a lake, an ocean. All of a sudden I'll see maybe a rainbow, and I see the absolute proof of the existence of God. All of a sudden here comes Genesis 9:14. You wonder where that is about the rainbow? Genesis 9:14. You want to write that down? Do. And here's this gorgeous rainbow. Absolute proof of the existence of God. This is, and we all know it's atmospheric conditions that are created, but it's God's promise that he won't destroy the earth by water again. That's all it is. But it's there, and they can see it. You can't get around the fact that it's there. And I say, praise the Lord for that beautiful. You guys say that when you see a rainbow? Praise the Lord for that beautiful rainbow, right? What else should you do? He's a, Wait, I'm looking for your praises. And in your praises, God is waiting to give you joy. So all those wonderful 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit are there for us to bask in: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, forbearance, faithfulness, all those beautiful fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we need to live in them and grow in them. Fill up our lives. Fill up our lives constantly full of the fruits of the Holy Spirit so that we can take all that eternal joy, those fruits, pass them on. The only way that they can be passed on is that when you talk to that person, I know I'm talking like an evangelist this morning, but I am one. So the point is that you need to realize I've got this role that I do because God says do this so that they can benefit from what you have to say because he's in me. So the power of the Holy Spirit is in every single one of you guys, full and rich and ready to work. And so now I'm going to say, this is over with because that's about all I have to say. So that's all I have to say about that. So the point is, I just want to pray for you guys now, okay? So bow your heads. Father, I just thank you for these wonderful men of God. And I ask you, Lord, to have each one bring one next time so that other people can hear this. We all got friends. I keep trying to get members of my church to come. So, Lord, I just lift up all these men to you now this morning. And we're careful to give you all the praise. Help us to walk out those doors with this word and teach people about you. Because there's nothing more important than you and everything that we can get. We can focus people's eyes on you. Focus their eyes. First, we want to focus our eyes. So thank you for these 3 questions, and I pray that everybody goes over these 3 questions on the tables, and I lift it all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.